You know, I've heard it said that a lot of people wish they had known before they got married the things they learned about themselves, about their spouse, about marriage after they got married. Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and today we're going to talk about that very fact that after we get married, there are things we're going to learn that hopefully will become helpful to us in growing our relationship and not discouraging. We're calling the program today Some of the Naked Truths of Marriage. And one of them is this: after you get married, there's going to be some things that you perhaps didn't anticipate or expect, and it's a point of growth in your life. So the question is, what did you learn about your marriage, your spouse, after you said, I do? We'd love to have you share that live on our comment line today at 888-888-1717. Share that with us as far as the radio on air today. This is from our archives, the best of, and the callers are already recorded for today's program. But your live call on our comment line is certainly welcomed, and we invite you to do so today. 888-888-1717. Got some great callers coming up as we learn about some of the naked truths of marriage, about the lessons learned after we say, I do. Also, a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking about something very important about the decades of life. I'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit.
Hi, my name is Becky, and I was calling because I've been very frustrated with my husband and what I view as a lack of his walk with the Lord. And the way I've been intentional is trying to show ways that I love him, show the love of Jesus to him the way he needs rather than what I feel how I need him to be. And it has paid great dividends to us in our relationship, and I continue to watch him grow.
You know, when you work together as a couple and you make it a priority to be on the same page, one of the most powerful things that we know about a married couple is that marriages that are built on friendship, shared values and direction and purpose make a difference. Don and I are at a stage now, our kids are raised and we got grandkids, and it's a fun time with the grandkids. Don and I are at a stage, though, that we're looking to the future now that we have different responsibilities and a little more freedom. Now what? You know, what are the things that maybe we've set aside and when we're raising the kids and all of that, that we look forward to moving forward? And I'm not sure that we maybe spent enough time really thinking and planning and praying about some of those things. And so learning that life is a progression. It continues. And if you're newly married and you have little kids, you're not always going to have little kids. They're going to grow up and become teenagers and eventually leave home, and you're going to have challenges and different challenges next decade than this decade, and always looking to the future. But I think the key is making sure that you stay on the same page, that there's an agreement, that you're on the same value system, moving in the same direction. When you do that, I think you set a foundation that allows you to face some of the difficulties that come along in any marriage relationship. There's going to be times when you're going to be in disagreement with the kids or finances, disagreement about in-laws or careers or activities or priorities. But when you can be on the same page with your values, with your mission, your sense of purpose, and being intentional with those things in your life, it can make a big difference. It can make a huge difference. So what's one thing you've learned about yourself, about marriage, but it came after you said, I do? 888-888-1717.
Yeah, I got hurt, and now my anger has turned into fear. And so, you know, I've become more paranoid. And I know that being paranoid is not good for anybody.
I feel like it's keeping me from getting closer to Christ. Right now I'm starting in that process where I have accepted him and I want to do his will. And I feel like I still need to push myself more. And I think that's really keeping me from doing
that. I actually fear that the way that I've been thinking for the past 50 years won't change. Lately, I've noticed that, I don't see a very bright future for myself.
Honest people. I wonder about you. Do you see a bright future? You know, we look at the world, we're concerned. We look around us and see what's going on in this country and around the world. And if we have ears at all to hear or eyes to perceive and absorb what's going on, we're concerned. But what kind of future do you see for yourself? interesting thought. Or for your marriage. I think there's discouragement that often sets in, and it's easy to give up. Okay, let's go. Leo's on the line. Leo, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
What have you learned after your, after you said I do?
Well, I learned that I was pretty selfish.
Huh. Well, how'd that show up?
Well, because I didn't have any children. My wife did. But once marriage fully kicked in and the responsibility shared on all aspects of life, I realized that I was a selfish person. I was always, how would you say it, taking care of myself. I never had to worry about any other people. And it was all about me. And after I said I do, I realized it wasn't anymore.
So how have you made the transition?
Just time. Time and a lot of arguments and understandings and talking and coming to the realization of where I was wrong, and especially where I was wrong. And, you know, the parts where I was right, but especially where I was wrong, is I learned from my own mistakes.
Huh. How long have you been married?
I now have been married going on 18 years.
So what do you tell someone who's like you, but they don't know they're like you, but they're dating? What one thing would you suggest they do?
Date longer. I think that if I would have dated longer and really put into perspective what I was getting into, that would have helped the cause. Ask a lot more questions rather than not.
Uh-huh. Taking time, yeah. Taking time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, hindsight's 20/20, and, you know, prayer is important, especially when you're young. You sometimes forget to take the time to pray, and it's important. I believe I got very lucky in finding my wife that is very much a Christian as I am. Is a lot of these youngsters don't really take the time to realize that Jesus has to be the center of your life, and if the other person is not a believer, that's going to be a very difficult mountain to tackle.
Well, you've been very fortunate in that the both of you, it sounds like you're on the same page spiritually, so you can at least work together through this process. And I congratulate the fact that you do. I mean, we could have easily had calls from others who had said, hey, I realized how selfish I was, but I wasn't going to change, and I'm out of here. But you chose to change. You chose to work through it. Your wife chose to work with you and be patient, and the two of you working together, I think that's a huge thing, so... Good for you. Stay the course, Leo. Appreciate your call.
Well, thank you.
All right, my friend. Let me go to Christopher in Arizona on the line today. Hey, Christopher, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What have you learned after you got married? I'm doing well, thanks.
My wife and I, her name is Tanya Powell, and we've been married next month. It will be 3 years we will have been married.
Hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, my wife and I were both in our 40s, our early 40s, and we never have been married. We didn't get married till, you know, like, say, a few years ago. So both of us were really set in our ways. Both have been through a lot of traumatic experiences from the cause of ourselves and from the causes of life or others. But, you know, it's just the last 2 or 3 years, it's been a real struggle between her and I. And, you know, I just want to tell her that I love her because I know she's listening right now. I love you, Tanya. But it's been a real struggle because I think I'll take blame for my part. You know, when my wife, like if she says, you know, she'll use a tone. And I think women use tones if they get mad at their husband or if they get frustrated. You know, she'll say, have you taken out the garbage yet? You know? And I used to get, I've gotten so defensive and frustrated because I've felt like she's being disrespectful to me.
Mm.
And a couple days ago, you know, God showed me that she's not even angry or mad at me. You know, I'm causing her to get angry and mad at me because I'm not hearing what she's been saying to me for 3 years.
Mm.
And instead of supporting her and letting her know that I'm always going to be there and, you know, to be more responsible and to do the right thing. You know, we have two daughters. We've had two girls, Elizabeth and Charlotte, back to back. And so it's just been a lot of pressure financially, spiritually, emotionally. So I just wanted to say, you know, I think that when my wife says that to me, you know, or when she gets really mad at me, I think she wants me to convey to her, she wants me to show her, she wants me to prove to her through my actions, through my words, that I love her, that I'm not going to ever leave.
Mm. Why don't you tell her? She's listening. You said she was listening. What do you want to say to Tanya? She's listening. Tell her.
I just want to say that I love you, and I know that God is in control, and that I'm really thankful that God showed me a couple days ago my shortcomings and the things that I haven't been listening to her on, and putting that into action. And I just want to tell her that I'm really thankful that I'm with her. And again, that I love her. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And, you know, I know that we're going to grow in the Lord together. And I'm really happy that we have two beautiful daughters. And, you know, no matter if it's hard or if it's easy, I'm never going to quit on her.
Well, listen, my friend, Christopher, thank you for allowing all of us to share in that moment. And I hope that as Tanya's listening, that's well received, and that the two of you have just a great reunion today to be able to carry on that kind of discussion. The two of you can really build the kind of marriage that God intended, and it all comes down to being intentional in the process.
Sure, and I just wanted to say to men, because I know, you know, I have a really, really hard, tough past, and you know, but I know for any man, no matter what their history is, we're all about respect, and we feel disrespected very easily. We get offended very easily, and I just want to say to the Christian men out there that if your wife is getting angry at you, or if you feel that she's getting angry at you, or she's not respecting you, listen when she says things that you think she's saying that are hurtful. She's really crying out to you for you to love her, be understanding, and just be there and do what's right.
Thank you, Christopher, for your call.
Dr. Randy, my name is Dave. I'm over here in Michigan, a truck driver. My wife and I have gotten into some marital problems here just recently, and she gave me an ultimatum. And to get myself into some counseling or some kind of help, I've got myself into a Christian counseling center, which is biblically based, something I knew I needed, and it's a push from her. And I think intentionally I want to keep doing this. If it restores my marriage or not, I'm going to keep doing it, because now I'm intentionally remembering every morning and every night and during the day to look to God and to give Him the praise and the glory for the things that He has already accomplished in such a short period of time. We have to intentionally get on our knees and get on our faces from time to time. Thanks, Dr. Randy. Enjoy your program. Looking forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for sharing that and for your journey and your marriage. Today is a marriage program. We're talking about the truths of marriage and the power of being intentional in your marriage. And realizing that after we get married, we all learn things about ourselves, about our spouse, about marriage that we didn't know. Sometimes surprisingly happy moments, and sometimes not so much, because we're human beings. And today we're processing that in terms of living intentionally and hearing stories of people who are saying, this is what I've learned. And so far, very helpful calls. Thank you. 888-1717.
Dr. Randy Carlson is encouraging everyone to just find that one thing that we can intentionally do for our marriage or parenting. And so I just wanted to share what I do. For my husband, the one thing that I try really hard to do is not focus on what he may be doing wrong, but rather really zoom in on what he's doing right.
Mm. That's good stuff, Delilah. I'll tell you what, just that one change, changing your mind, changing the focus, which is an intentional thing that we can do, change your marriage. It's change your marriage, your attitude, and your relationship, which raises the question, what one thing could you do over the next 30 days, like Delilah, that could change your marriage? Is it maybe stopping criticizing or encouraging every day several times? Or maybe it's listening to your spouse or praying with your spouse. What is it? What one thing could you do, you kind of know in your own heart from talking with your spouse, that would make the biggest difference in your marriage relationship? Can I challenge you to do it? If you'll commit to doing one thing for your marriage, I'll tell you what, I want to come alongside of you and send you from our center the same wristband that I wear every day, the one thing wristband. We'll put the postage on the envelope, we'll send it to you, and invite you, in fact, ask you to wear that for the next 30 days as you put it on every day, as you're putting it up over your hand onto your wrist. Think about, hey, here's my one thing for marriage today. Here's my promise. If you do that for the next 30 days, it'll become a habit, and it may change your life and certainly impact your spouse in a positive way. Why don't you join me and do it? How do you get your wristband? All you have to do is make that one thing commitment for your marriage, and then go to theintentionallife.com/WB, which stands for wristband, right? Again, that's theintentionallife.com/WB, and we'll try to get that wristband out to you ASAP. Wear it every day, but you can start your one thing today waiting for the wristband, and then make that sort of an added bonus along the way.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. This program is entitled Three Naked Truths About Marriage, which started out as a blog. And if you haven't checked out Dr. Randy's blog at theintentionallife.com, you should. You'll find hundreds of posts dealing with the five essentials: faith, family, finances, health, and work. So if you're looking for ways to improve your marriage or your parenting skills, or learn how to tithe and still pay all your bills, check out our blog at theintentionallife.com. Randy.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Kurt. And when you're there, by the way, to this blog on the Three Naked Truths About Marriage, and I don't want to elaborate because you can read it, but I will point out what they really are. And I believe that these are important ingredients for a healthy, intentional marriage. And the first one is coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 25, that God intends for us to live in a godly marriage that is shame-free. You know, one of the things that happened in the book of Genesis, when you see the picture, it's of what happened with Adam and Eve after they sinned, that said they covered themselves and they hid themselves from God. That's a picture of what happens to us in our marriages so often. There's a feeling of shame that occurs in our lives, maybe unconsciously so. And that shame creates all sorts of negative reactions and self-protection and barriers that are put in place and other kinds of inappropriate emotional responses and so on, but a sense of being shame. And God intends for us to have a shame-free life. Number two, I believe that God's intention, Genesis 3:10, is that a marriage should be separation-free. Now, I know sometimes separations occur. Sometimes that can be a healthy thing as well, for people to take time out to rebuild and get back into counseling and rebuild their marriage. That can be positive, can also be negative. But God's intention is that marriage be for a lifetime. That is His intention. If that's not been your experience, you know the pain and suffering as a result of that. So if you're married today, to make the marriage that you're in work, make this marriage an intentional marriage to honor Christ. And then a third naked truth is that a godly marriage is free of fear. We should live in a home, in a place where we're not fearful, emotionally, physically, spiritually, or otherwise. In fact, that's one of the Ten Commandments for the family that I wrote about, is that our place be a place of support and not a place of danger. So there's three. You can read more about them when you go to theintentionallife.com. Let me go to phone calls here. Harold's on the line. Hi there, Harold. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Good, good. How long have you been married?
I've been married for, it'll be 9 years, June 23rd.
All right. What have you learned after you said I do?
Well, one of the things I learned after saying I do was how to be the example of Christ, and how to love my wife as Christ loved the church, as it's written in the Word.
Hmm. Did that come as a result of having to? Things got tough, or?
Well, I went through some things in the first couple years of our marriage where my wife was unfaithful, and I had contemplated having getting a divorce. And while I was in prayer regarding that, the Lord really impressed on my heart that that I was dirty and that I had been unfaithful to Him, and how He had forgiven me, and how He had washed me with the blood, and how He called me to love my wife, and to love me Christ, like it says in the book of Corinthians.
So how are you guys doing today?
We're doing good today. We get along really well. We built a strong friendship. We have a foundation built upon Christ, and we've come a long way since then.
Well, good for you. Good reminder. Thank you, Harold, for your call today.
Okay, Pastor.
All right. Drive safely, too. Melissa is in Arizona. Welcome to the program, Melissa. Let me push the button. I pushed it, but it didn't work. There it goes. Sorry about that, Melissa. Welcome to the program.
How are you, Dr. Randy?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Great.
What have you learned?
Yes. Well, it's been a long road, even though we've only been married 6 years, okay? I'm 49 years old. So I got married late in life. So I was married right around the age of 40, 41. My husband had been divorced. He's 7 years younger than me. But I grew up with some very strong and opinionated and independent women. So they all had this viewpoint of relationships, of marriage, of men. And I remember even my mom telling me, always take care of yourself. You know, if you get divorced, if this happens, you always need to make sure that you take care of yourself first, right? And because we came from divorce throughout our entire family, I grew up thinking, well, I'm going to have to take care of myself, and it's going to be about me first, my needs first, and then his. So I'm not having any experience with marriage, just relationships. One failed right after the other. Failed relationship. When I met Ryan, I said, well, we're going to do things my way. I'm not going to take your last name. I'm going to keep my maiden name. I'm going to keep my own checking account. And here's a way we're going to do things, right? Because I was coming from that that false understanding of what a godly marriage was all about. After visiting with a spiritual mentor of mine, he told me two things that really helped me to get my marriage in order. Number one, he said, God is a God of order. And he wants to see your marriage in order. And number two, what that looks like is my husband Ryan answers to God, and I answer to my husband Ryan. And unless I get this marriage in order, I'm going to have some really strong challenges in our relationship. When my mentor told me that, TJ, he's a pastor, I fought that because I thought, well, you're asking me to submit. You're asking me to do everything he says. And when I finally went to the Word and started reading the Word, places like Ephesians 5:33, when it says that it's not to be submissive, not to have an opinion, not to be able to give godly counsel like Abigail did to David, it basically means that I'm going to honor him, respect him, esteem him, venerate him. And my attitude changed because I knew that I could still be myself, right? I could still be myself in this relationship, but at the same time, I could honor this marriage by allowing him to be good in the marriage at what he's good at. Because my husband's really good with certain things like finances, and I'm not. So I had to give up control, Dr. Randy. I had to give up the spirit of rebellion. I had to give up that spirit of independence and the falsities that I learned from TV shows, because I grew up with TV shows like Married with Children. And those shows, you know, back in those days, where they really taught a lot of disrespect towards the husband. So that has been a really big lesson for me, but I will tell you this. As soon as we got our marriage in order, and it's been a growing process because I still fight, because I still have that spirit of independence because I've had these habits now for 49 years. But as soon as I submit and trust to the Lord and I give him the marriage, I say, Father, this is your marriage, so I'm going to honor and respect my husband. He's head of household, and I trust, Father, that you will work in him to make him the man he needs to be so that it's reciprocated.
Well, you said it well, Melissa, and I just let you say it because I think you're experiencing it. And we're out of time, but I wanted to ask the question, how's it going? But I think you answered that by saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this. You're being intentional in the process. You're not doing it out of weakness. You're doing it out of strength. You're not doing it out of a sense of control, but out of a sense of honor for your husband, but also for your marriage and for God. And It probably raises all sorts of feelings and thoughts in the hearts of people listening today. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. Certainly, Melissa, your story is a reminder. When we're intentional, we know what God's word is. We're obedient to God's word. Things positive, things that are positive happen in our lives. Appreciate your call. This is a critical time. Now, identity is something we work on all through our lives, but from 10 to 20, in particular, this is a time of identity. And the question that many times is being asked is, who am I? Did you ask those questions? I mean, kind of, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What does God have for me? Or what is life like in these years? And the one thing that's so critical for parents and grandparents is to help your kids come to know Christ and then grow in Christ. And when I hear parents say, well, I'll let them make their decisions later, that is foolishness. Boy, it really is. And you know, that's just one of the many decades of a lifetime. And you know what? Every decade in our life, we have certain things that we need to learn and accomplish and sort of build on for the next decade. And if we don't learn, sometimes we drag some of the negativity or the lost expectations or regrets into the next. And that's why it seems like life becomes cumulative. Makes me wonder if why some of us can get to be grumpy old men. There's a thought. When it comes to carrying from decade to decade things that can not add value, but detract from our life. And so, hey, by the way, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month. If you're a member of Intentional Living, you'll be receiving the audio and video automatically, as you know, mid-month here in just a little bit. And for those of you joining us today to become a part of Intentional Living, we'll make sure that you receive it as well. Your monthly support is vitally needed. You know, here we are in June, and we're wrapping up our year. We're wrapping up our fiscal year. And whatever you do, you see right now, is critical. Whatever you do in support of the ministry, whatever you do to stand with us is going to help us close out 2022, the fiscal year, strong. And we have some friends of the ministry who are supporting the ministry by matching every gift, dollar for dollar, up to $10,000 right now, which means if you share a gift of $1,000 to help us together reach more people for Christ, they're going to match that dollar for dollar for another $1,000. So whatever it is that you're able to do, we'd love to have you join us. We need you. We're running about 4 or 5% behind where we need to be at this point to close out this fiscal year. And so your gift is greatly appreciated. So again, to join us in support, just go to theintentionallife.com, click on that donate button, come and join us. And we just want to say thank you in advance for your support. We appreciate it. I'm Dr. Randy. I've got to run. Thanks for being a part of the program today. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.